Hello guys, this is Charlie. I just want to give this little disclosure at the beginning of the episode. This is a very sensitive topic for me, and I got a little heated. If I did offend somebody, I'm sorry. I will take that responsibility for it, but I think it was something that needed to be said. With that disclosure and FYI, I would like to continue with the show. Welcome to the Charlie and Nelly Baby Show, the podcast about bar talk and things that people do not dare to talk about in public. Get ready for some dark humor, nonsense, explicity, and some hot, steamy topics. On today's episode, undocumented Latino trauma. Here are your hosts, Charlie and Nelly Baby. Welcome one more time to the Charlie and Nelly Baby Show. This podcast, it's about bar talk, right? The things you do not want to talk about in public because they're taboo and they're forbidden, we're going to talk about them here. So this is an explicit. We're going to have some dark humor. We're going to have some interesting conversations, sexual, sensual, because that's Nelly Baby's, bread and butter. And it's all no holds barred. So this is pretty much the podcast. Season 4, episode 1 of the Charlie and Nelly Baby Show. And you have a couple of good topics. And we actually decided in one.
Well, we have more than one topic because, I was told a week before my vacation.
I don't know.
A week before my vacation when, you disappeared. One of my residents from work. He's like, he got upset because I mentioned one of the other residents I work with. Those that don't know, I'm a coordinator for the internal medicine department.
And yeah, you should not say that because the way this is going to go down, it's going to go down hard and it's going to go down big. I'm just saying.
I'm not there yet.
Me neither. I'm about to.
And I work with residents, so doctors. And I mentioned one of the doctors, Dr. Jurgen, and the other doctor heard it, our actual listener, heard it, and he's like, "Well, hey, I'm not V, man. Why did you just say my initial?" And I'm like, "I didn't know if you wanted your name mentioned because the other resident wanted his name mentioned, and he didn't mind." And he's like, "Well, I want my name mentioned because I listen." So I said, "All right, Vishal."
All right. This shout out goes to Dr. Vishal. And this episode, it's for you.
It's not his topic, but.
Don't worry about it. Let's get to it. Nelly Baby here sent me a video on TikTok. And we are on TikTok. So you can follow us on TikTok and whatever. Okay. Yeah, it's all good. Go to the episode where it says I hate TikTok. I hate TikTok.
Charlie is on TikTok. And not only does Charlie hate TikTok so much that he has two accounts.
Topic that Nelly Baby sent me, right? I'm going to play this little audio right now.
The undocumented Latino trauma, or the just Latino trauma. So I come from a Latino immigrant family. There was no such thing as taking vacations, and there was no such thing as aspiring for something because I should be grateful for what I have. Let's put it this way. If I went to an interview, I would come back and I would say, "No, I didn't get the job because they didn't offer me what I wanted." She'd be like, "We should have taken it because you have nothing now." Like, it's better to have little than have nothing. And the thing is, like, that gets engraved in our head so much that we're so used to just saying yes to everything without realizing we're not taking up the space that we truly deserve. We come here for the American dream. In return, we just end up surviving because we need to just take a job to pay the rent and pay the bills and have food on our table, right? Yeah. But we never really get to aspire for what we really want. Maybe my brother wanted to be an architect. Maybe my sister wanted to be a journalist, or whatever. And it's just like, you don't do those things because you have to survive right now. And right now becomes a lifetime.
What do you think?
I kind of agree.
I knew you would.
But it's because from my background, I wanted to go to Colombia and I wanted to go to New York. I wanted to be a veterinarian. And because of my economic status, I wasn't able to because I was basically helping my mom, what he said, help pay the rent, get a job, help with paying bills. I had, what do you call it? The guilty mom pressure where she didn't want to let me go.
Okay. I completely disagree with that. That whole thing, it's nonsense. And that whole thing, it's the second generation ideology of pampered Mexican-American kids who bite into it.
Okay.
Okay. You want to rebuttal that?
Why?
Okay.
Because you're privileged too?
I am not privileged, all right? I am not. There's one. Okay. This is a point of the conversation we had in the other podcast. I'm going to let you go ahead and listen to that one because I did actually say that I had a privileged life when it came to growing up with my parents. But I didn't have a privileged life. I had a really shitty life. And I'm here because of that shitty life. If I had a great life, I would have stayed out my butt in Mexico. Yo estuviera hablando español ahorita. Joder, yo estuviera hablando español como de España. No estuviera español, oh español como los de los necos. You know, I would be talking my language in my land, pretty much, all right? But no, they brought me here when I was 10, and now I'm here. With that being said, okay, what I got from him, right, is that he didn't actually achieve his dreams because somebody engraved him that he had to settle for less. That's what he was saying. Am I getting that wrong?
No.
Okay.
But I kind of agree and disagree with that.
Okay. So before you agree and disagree, we have a lot of people who are foreigners who are doctors who probably went through the same struggle and they're doctors. Yes. So how can this guy come over and say that him being from here, not going through the visa process, because no, that's a bitch to get. Is. Not flying from another country, let alone another continent, he's going to come and say, oh, my mama told me that I couldn't succeed because we settled for less. No, it's just a way for them to protect themselves and not get out of their comfort zone for him to achieve what they wanted. And that's why I disagree with it.
I can't. Like, can you just do the Charlie show? Because I'm gonna be like walking away right
now. No, why? Okay. Let's bring the emotions down. Because I actually wanted you to actually pick this topic because this actually is something that's been bothering me a lot for a long time, and I'm gonna tell you why. I understand that the second generation, you know, they didn't have the same struggles as we did. And again, in the parenting with Charlie and Ellie baby, we literally talk about this today. There's certain things that you need to go through for you to actually grow in life. That's just pretty much how it is. But why is it that the fact that they were pampered. They didn't actually get exposed to actually something they can fight for. Why settle for less? That's my question. Why settle for less?
I don't know. Cause like, why would they say, oh, well, pick a job and get, I get that because sometimes you have to get whatever you can at that moment.
Yeah.
At that moment.
I agree.
To pay the bills and pay the rent for now.
I agree.
Okay. And then once you settle and you make something and you save a little bit of money, then you could go and find yourself something better.
I agree 100% with that. And that is something that they didn't do. They stayed in their comfort zone. A lot of people stay in their comfort zone. And if you want to grow, you got to get out of there. And they didn't, you know, and I think that, for example, in this case, this guy, you know, he's saying, what if my brother wanted to be an architect? What stopped him? Okay, so you didn't, let's say back in the day, right? 30 years ago, you go to McDonald's, you work for $6 an hour 30 years ago? Okay, you go to McDonald's for $6 an hour. Whose fault is it if you stay in a McDonald's for 30 years and make $15 an hour? Whose fault is it? It's not your parents. It's your decision. You stayed.
You decided to stay.
So then why are we blaming somebody else for your decisions?
You know, I'm not going to say nothing because most of these people go to Hamburger College. I didn't know that was a thing.
That is a thing. I didn't know. Do they have one here in Chicago? I didn't know was a thing.
They're closing it.
I wonder why.
They're closing it.
And all we know is that Red Robins are the best burgers. No commercial. I just love it. Do not do that.
My last visit wasn't that great.
Whatever, man. We just got sued by Red Robins. The point is, there was a Burger University.
But I get it because most of these people are getting an education in McDonald's. And McDonald's actually gives scholarships out for people who actually stay in their business and make something of themselves. here's but they have to do pay it forward.
That's right. No, that's right. No, listen, I think that if you're stuck in a place and you're saying, oh, I cannot get this because society doesn't let me. No, there's a lot of opportunities. Okay, let's example number one. Okay, and again, you feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. Okay, and I want the listeners to actually follow us and tell me that I'm wrong. I want you guys to tell me that I'm wrong. But in the 1800s, if you're a freaking 10-year-old boy working, picking up bread, you're giving your money, all your money to your mama, and you become one of the wealthiest men in the history of humanity, what stops you in 2023?
Yourself.
So then why are they blaming everybody else? Why are they, oh, the illegal immigration trauma? That's bullshit. That is bullshit. That's bullshit. Come on. Okay, fine. Let's say you don't have documents. Okay, you shouldn't be working if you're not documented. Just saying it out there before we get sued. But there are ways. There are ways to make a living.
Yeah.
Right? So why are they getting stuck?
Like you could literally get paid to be on social media right now.
I'm just saying. We don't get paid. And we're on social media. Well, we do get 34 cents, you know, for the episode. The point is.
Thank you for your 34.
Thank you for your 34 cents. That's why I said they're customers. The point is that if they're not taking the opportunities, don't blame it on some stupid trauma that you're trying to make up. Don't do that.
But I guess it's how they're saying, stop blaming your parents for what your outcome is now.
I agree with that 100%.
Which I kind of get. And I kind of feel like I sometimes blame my parents for how I am now, because I'm like, seriously, I could have walked away, walked my happy ass out, gone to New York, been a doctor.
You could have.
But yet my mom giving me that guilty, like, feeling of like, if you leave me, I'm going to die.
I can just imagine Nelly Baby going, this bag of bunjus, I'm leaving today.
And just take my hat up and throw it up in the air.
New York, New York. Yeah, exactly.
Dude, imagine there would never have been a Charlie and a Baby show.
That is true. I'm glad you didn't leave. I'm glad you didn't leave. You know, I didn't think about that. Thank you for not leaving and not succeeding in your dreams.
Thank you for not being a doctor.
But no, seriously. Okay. So I'm afraid that, you know, this kind of characters, they give Hispanics the wrong impression or the wrong name, right? My sister's a teacher and she did finish her education. Luckily, I didn't, right? Whatever. Our situations were different, but it doesn't mean I got stuck. It just means that I took a different route.
Yeah.
I can't blame my parents for the different results that we had, which I just made the decisions that I thought were best in my circumstances. Now, this guy's saying, oh, I could have been, you know, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Well, let me break it down to you, okay? I'm not a doctor. I'm not an architect. I'm an interpreter. I'm a mechanic. I'm a coaching box. I'm a coaching semi-boxing coach. There you go. Semi-comma. Boxing coach, whatever. You know what I get.
You're a boxing coach.
Period. I'm a boxing coach, period. Okay. I'm a Spanish teacher. So
you got too many damn hats.
I'm a freaking waiter. I'm a freaking bar back. I do so
you're
many.
You're a waiter?
I'm a freaking podcaster. I did work as a waiter too.
I heard you're a stripper too.
I am a stripper too. All I'm saying is there are options, people. There are options. All right. And
yeah. I'll work for change.
Yes. Somebody did offer and say, listen, I will pay 25 cents for that booty dance. And I'll say, I need laundry money. Okay. I need to wash my chones. So
here's the coins.
You know, again, it's the way you see things. That's where I'm coming from with this. It's the way you see things. And these guys get stuck in their stupid ideology that they're traumatized. Why did you do that? Why do you put yourself in those limits where you know you can get out of?
I think it's just their simplest way of explaining how they're just lazy at this point.
See, I don't think they're lazy. I don't think it's laziness. I think it's the fact that you're too accustomed and you're too safe in your comfort zone. Get the hell out. Go out there. Break a leg. Like they did back in the day with ours. Oh, yeah. Okay, you're 18. Get the hell out of my house. You go live life. And that's what you need to do.
And that's the thing. I didn't leave at 18. My mom didn't.
This is coincidental. I did not know that.
My mom did not kick me out. Like, literally, I ran away.
I did not know that. That was coincidental. I didn't want to open any wounds or anything.
I ran away, and I literally didn't. I left to work at a camp. Because I was so fed up being sheltered that I just ran away. And I said, if I can't go to New York, then I'm going to Wisconsin at least to fuck around in the summer.
Literally. Okay, I gotta hear some other points of this game, right?
There was no such thing as taking vacations.
Okay, there was no such things as taking vacation. There was no such things of like taking vacation. I took a vacation when I was a kid. I didn't go to Wisconsin. I didn't go to Indiana. I didn't go to freaking St. Louis or Kentucky, you know, the closest states around here. But I did take a vacation when I was in summer school. I did a shitload of stuff when I was in summers and during the summer. And I wasn't home as much and I had a great time. Again, you don't need to leave a city for you to actually have some good time. What the hell are they talking about? Maybe you can help me out with this one.
Well, I didn't really have vacations. I literally had vacations until I literally pulled my mom and my brother out. And I said, how about if I pay for us to go to Texas? You haven't gone in generations. So I'll take you.
See, and that to me sounds extremely privileged. Oh, I didn't go on vacation. So what you do, motherfucker? Not a lot of people did. Like, what's so special about and traumatizing about that? Because I'll bet you anything. That anybody who was probably, you know, in India or, you know, any of those countries that are not, you know, as good as we are, like in Mexico too, or Guatemala and shit, they're not going, oh, I didn't go to Chiapas for the summer. No, I don't think they do that. Maybe some. Again, everything's
I've never gone to Mexico.
Everything's for a game. But I mean, really? That's your trauma? You didn't go out of the city? That's it?
Well, your big ass could go to the damn freaking vacation now. So what's stopping you now?
That no, see, you disagree earlier. Don't not come over to this side of the ship. No. You stay in your side because you agree with this before. No. I knew you were gonna do that. Do not do that.
Why? I was like, you're old enough now where you could take your happy ass to vacation.
But why will that be a trauma? Like, what
shouldn't be a
how
trauma?
How privileged can you be to consider that a trauma where you're literally talking about it when you're like, what? He looks like he's 25 to 30. In the video,
30.
I'm just saying, dude, at that age, 25, I was like,
take your happy deuces. Ass and take yourself somewhere.
Dude, people were so happy because they're going to Wisconsin Dells, 3 hours away. Come on,
I'm so
give
happy.
Your freaking friends and drive, dude.
Running away and going on a damn bus,
bro,
and taking care of everybody else's fucking kids.
Listen, okay, let's go to the next point that he said. Hold on,
there was no such thing as missing a day from school.
There is no such thing as missing a day from school. Motherfucker, you're telling me that in your whole years of school, you never cut a day.
I took days off because I had to help my mom with translation.
Listen, I got so good at cutting that even I got my mama's permission to cut.
Well, I used to cut and then I had my mom sign my permission slip.
See, again, I cannot believe this motherfucker is going to say that he never took a day from school.
I'd be like, Mom, I'm going to tell you the truth. I cut with my friends. Can you sign this note that I signed, that I made for you? And then you could just sign it. I did that right there.
And not to mention the fact that he is complaining that he went to school every day.
That's bitch, a bull.
Bitch, do you realize how many people would like to go to school every day to get an education?
That's true.
What? Okay, let's go to the next one.
And there was no such thing as aspiring for something because I should be grateful for what I have.
There was no such thing as aspiring for something and be grateful for what I have. Okay, first of all, our generation, well, at least the people who immigrated from Mexico to here, the, you know, 6 million illegal immigrants who he's talking about that came from there to here, it's what they wanted, a better life. So if you're jackass did not get the concept that you have to move out of your comfort zone, hell, even your country, to become a better person, then the problem is you.
That's true.
No, you're agreeing with me. No. Hold on.
Let's put it this way. If I went to an interview, I would come back and I would say, no, I didn't get the job because they didn't offer me what I wanted. She'd be like, we should have taken it because you have nothing now. Like, it's better to have little than have nothing. And the thing is, like, that gets engraved in our head so much that we're so used to just saying yes to everything without realizing we're not taking up the space that we truly deserve.
Okay, that one, maybe I'm going to let you explain a little bit because, you know, maybe he does have a point there. What do you think on that?
Well, he's saying that he didn't get it because they weren't giving him the offering that he wanted or the money that he wanted.
Okay, what that's telling me, it's, again, how the fuck can you be so privileged? What can they offer you at that point? Again, this is me being me. Probably I was conditioned to be this way, but I was taught, take this while you look for something else.
Yeah.
Once you find that something else, leave that previous thing.
Yeah.
So you can become better and you're not left without nothing. And that's what I was taught.
Experience under your belt.
Exactly. Okay. Why the hell will that be a bad thing?
Because I think they think that, because what I see the younger generation, if they don't like the job that they get, they literally quit within a week or two.
That is true. Now, I think I did read a research that stated that now this generation are apparently living with their parents more often.
Yes.
They're not moving out of the house. Guess who the hell is actually working for them to actually have that privileged life? And they don't have the option of moving out because they're paying for bills, rent, food, and everything else. Who is that? Their parents. I'm just saying. That's what makes me so angry. Because now the poor, you know, people that raised these mofos are now still struggling for them to actually move their kids out of the house.
Yeah, that I don't get, because I literally had to force myself to move. Well, not force myself, but I moved out because I needed my personal space.
See, and I've heard this argument that they said, oh, but it's actually more expensive to live now for us. We cannot afford an apartment because we're not getting paid what we deserve, right? Or at least minimum wage, right? They got to raise the minimum wage. I understand that. But you know who else is doing that? Your parents.
Yeah.
And you know who's still struggling with it? Your parents. And you know who's still fucking making it happen and paying the bills and making it rain? Your parents. Who happen to be probably 40 years older than you are and maybe tired of keeping up with your ass. So yeah, you know, let's just.
And these are the people that actually vote in gentrification and people that actually cause all these rents to get raised higher and all these, the mortgage to go up higher. And then you wonder why your parents are struggling.
Right?
Like, you asked for this. You wanted this equality and this gentrification, but yet you didn't see the outcome and the issues it was going to lead for these older people.
The reason why I'm in this condition is because I think they have a valid point. I think that because, and like we said in the other podcast, the Parenting with Charlie and Nelly Baby, there are certain actions and reactions that happen, right? And their parents, because of the fear, because that's pretty much what it was when I was growing up. I noticed that it was the fear that they will struggle the same way our parents did. Right? The children were going to struggle the same way the parents did. And they sheltered them and protected them, right? So at the moment they actually needed to get out and do things on their own, they were not prepared to do them. And now they're complaining. So it was a disservice they did to this children, right? Mm-hmm. And I will agree that maybe the way I was raised up was not the best one. And again, I love my parents. And if you go to the podcast, you're going to hear how beautifully we talk about our parents. But they still made mistakes. And I don't want to make the same mistakes. But I don't want to pamper my kids because I know that one day I am not going to be around. And when I'm not around, they will not know what to do with themselves. So I don't want to have a useless kid running around causing this kind of issues because they don't know what they are or they don't know what they feel or whatever. They need to face reality. That's pretty much how it goes. Life, my comparison to life, and I told this to my daughter, is Negan's barbed wire bat. And you are Glenn's face. And they bash the shit out of it. And that's just life. You know, it just happens. They take off the little soft protecting thing. Beep, beep, beep. No, that shit's gone. Now you're getting hit. And the reason why I'm saying that is because I met a doctor. His name is Dr. Jeremy. When I met him, he was a resident in his second year of surgery, right? This guy you will see him on the street, boots, jeans, a flannel shirt, you know, scruffy in the beard. Literally, he looked like he worked in construction. But then when you saw him in the hospital, you know, all tied up and said, you know, whatever. So then one day, you know, I was talking to a coworker and he said, hey, like, you know Dr. Jeremy? I said, yeah, man, I know Dr. Jeremy. He goes, do you know that when he actually, before he started his career in medicine, he was a construction worker? That's why he had the outfit. He always wore the outfit, right? I said, really? He's like, because he literally looks like what? I see him walking the street like, hey, man, what's going on? You're like, he's just missing the rest of the sledgehammer and the hard hat, singing YMCA and shit. Like, So then he said, yeah, he used to work construction. And because he worked construction for a couple of years, he got tired. He's like, I can't do this shit for forever. I am not going to kill my body for, you know, X amount of years and then to have nothing. So what I'm doing, I'm going to go back to school. So eventually he did to medical school and then he became a surgeon. He became such a great surgeon that he was actually one of the doctors who helped the kid who got shot in Chicago 16 times. He was the attending doctor and he's the one that actually tried to save him.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and that's my point. We're Hispanics and we meet people that are Hispanics. And for some odd reason, they don't have the same attitude that we do to fight and to actually succeed. And there's a lot of people that we met. We met a lot of people from other countries, other cultures, and other circumstances that have able to succeed. So the question is, why not Hispanics? Why are they complaining about the stupid categories about immigration trauma?
I think it's just American people. Because I deal with Latinos from Mexico, from Puerto Rico, who are doctors, who are actually have to get the visa and this and that, and they bust their butts to be where they are now. And then these are people that are coming, yes, most of them are from privileged backgrounds in Mexico. Their father was a doctor, their great grandfather was a doctor, but they bust their ass.
No,
and I'm not discouraging them and say, hey, you didn't work hard.
And that's true. And as a cultural background and you know, maybe circumstances change little by little. But what I've also noticed, again, being Mexican and all, is that they actually have a responsibility and they have an obligation to actually succeed. They're mm-hmm. being pushed by these people to succeed.
Yeah.
So why not the privileged Mexican Americans? I'm just saying, not everybody. Don't get me wrong.
I think it's simpler for them to do the blame game, and it's crazy because I see people from Russia, from China, and all of these people from like meager backgrounds that not all of them are privileged, and they're freaking doctors. They're coming here to make something more of themselves or to continue to make something more
and,
of themselves.
And that's why I brought the example of the poor kid who was, you know, selling bread and giving the money to his kid because, you know, to his mom, because that, again, that's Carnegie. We know Carnegie was a Scottish kid who was dead poor in Scotland, came over at the age of 10, worked in another country and became one of the wealthiest, right? And then you have the Rockefeller, and then you have the Ford, and then you have, you know, Nikola Tesla, you have the Thomas Edison, you have all these people. Okay, you want to go Hispanic? Fine. You have the Emiliano Zapatas, you have the Pancho Villas, you have the Che Guevaras, you have the freaking Simón Bolívar. You have all these people in history that also had some struggles and they actually made it succeed and they became an important person. So my question to you, if you're listening, and again, don't take me the wrong way, what is wrong with what you have? You have everything to succeed. There's a lot of illegal immigrants who will give anything to have what you have, and you are just wasting it. Sorry, I got a little passion there again.
I think the younger generation wants to just label everything now. Just label every little issue and trauma. Hey,
you can label it. I don't have a problem. You can label the hell you want. But how is that benefiting us as a society? Like, what is it you're contributing that I should take you seriously? Okay, let's say you want to categorize this. Okay, cool. Do it. Label yourself the illegal immigration trauma. Great. Are you still working? Are you still going to provide for anybody else in your family if something happens? Like, what is it that you're going to do besides this? Like, what are you doing? If you're not doing anything, let's say you didn't get the job because you didn't get paid enough and you're not paying taxes, but you want free education, then what the hell are you talking about? You're not providing. Then what's the issue?
Are you at least going to school?
Just saying.
Because you could go to school and fill out the FAFSA form.
You wanna be the architect? Go right ahead. Dude, again, maybe the FAFSA is a bad example, but it's available.
It's available.
It's available.
And especially right now because, you know, you probably have more experience with it. Like,
'cause I'm old?
No.
Oh.
I'm saying the FAFSA is for people who are, you know, American and have, you know,
yeah.
But other people have the, like most Latinos have DACA.
Yeah.
It's different, right?
Oh, don't get me started with that thing, man.
But it's different, right? Like it's a lot harder to get that.
No.
No?
No.
So is it the same as, it's just another word for FAFSA?
If you're a child who was illegal during the certain years, then you can actually apply for a permit to work mm-hmm. and study for 2 years and they'll give you the permit.
That's not bad.
Hold that thought. So if you were, let's say, for example, you came before the age of 10. No, actually it was 2016. If you came in before 2016, don't quote me on that. I'm not really sure about the legality of this, but I know it was before a certain year here. If you came in before that certain year, you qualified for that permit. You wouldn't get the residency. You wouldn't get, you know, able to vote and all that beautiful things that come with, you know, being a resident or a citizen. But you were able to work without the pressure of being deported. And you were able to study. The only thing they're requesting is that you work or you study. Not work and study, work or study, right? Mm. Another thing they ask of you, do not commit any crimes. Drunk driving, drug possession, any felonies. Misdemeanors, probably you can get away with it. Again, don't quote me. This is just me, what I've heard. But you get the permit to work in the United States. That alone opens possibilities for you to succeed,
yeah.
Right? And go to school, right?
At least have a little bit of chump change in your pocket.
Got it. Some got it. And they never used it.
Wow.
They let it go. There are people who would kill for that right now.
Yeah.
They're fighting for it. For right now, the immigration laws, they're actually asking for an amnesty for other people who didn't qualify for the DACA. Because I know a lot of people. I know a certain person, actually, he's a really close friend of mine, that the date was April 1st. So if you were the age of 30 and below, you qualified. This dude, his birthday was on February, by the 20th of February. He didn't qualify because of a month. He wow. was here since he was 7, but he didn't qualify for that help because he was a month older than the due date. And this guy is a genius. And he actually does everything and anything. And he freaking fights for what he has. And he didn't qualify because of fucking 40 days.
Wow.
That's how unfair this whole thing is. And that's why I get so emotional about it. Because I know people for a fact that they will actually take that, the DACA, and run with it.
Yeah, that's easy, not money, but like at least an education.
I agree. And there's kids like him who I might think that he might be a citizen. I mean, I don't know him, but he's just a video. But there's a lot of people who are citizens and they don't actually take advantage of the opportunities they have. And with that being said, they complain about it. If you don't want to take advantage, that's okay. No biggie. But then why the fuck you complain? That's your choice. I'm glad that you chose this. I'm really glad. Anything else before we close?
Just go and stop labelizing everything and just do what you got to do. It's hard life right now, especially right now with the economy and just the way it is. And like he said, get a job just to whatever pays the bills. Yes, but then don't stop there. Make that as one of your stepping stones to either get a better job or have this little crummy job that you have supposedly and continue to go to school.
And there's a lot of ways for you to actually make a business.
That too. Be a self-employed.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many things right now that you could do. Like, for example, I was telling my daughter that, you know, she's going to start college and she was a little concerned about, you know, money and, you know, her situation about paying tuition. So she did apply for the FAFSA. I said, great, honey. Yeah, that's amazing. You get that help, right? And then she said, but she has a job right now in a music store. And she said, well, I don't want to make $160 every 2 weeks and you know, I said, well, then look for other possibilities, right? Well, she's actually looking to get another job and actually make more money so she can pay for education. And again, it's not the fact that she's actually looking for a job to settle there and not do that, right? Not just get stuck. She's using that as a stepping stone. And she understands that she needs to struggle a little bit for her to get good results. In my opinion, that's all what we need to do. Again, you can label whatever the fuck you want. And we did say that in the episodes, in the previous episode, we're talking about, you know, transgender in sports, which, by the way, update on that. We did talk about 2 years ago. Update on that. They did actually stop transgender men competing against women. It's against the rules now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I called it. Just saying. You heard on the Charlie and Early Baby Show first. Okay. Anyways, the point is, don't use that as an excuse. I understand how you feel. Feelings are great. You let it go. Emotional intelligence. But are you going to let them stop you from actually succeeding in your life? Once you're 50, 60, and you look back, and you're going to see that all the possibilities and opportunities you had, and you took none of them because you wanted to be a crybaby? We're going with that?
It's because he's being in, what was it called? Emotional.
Emotional intelligence?
Yeah.
He was performing his emotional intelligence?
Yeah, a lot of it.
Yeah, yeah. Jesus. Again, go to the parenting with Charlie and Ellie Baby, and you'll understand what we're talking about. All right. So I think that's it for today.
Sure.
All right, then. This has been for today. We do have other topics that they were sent to us, and we'll talk about it in 2 weeks.
Sure.
All right, then. See you guys later.
It's not his topic, but...
Don't worry about it. It's not his topic. But he did actually bring up a very interesting question.
And which I'm bring will be it... coming up in the next following episode.
No, I'm going to say it right now. The question that he did was, and this is open for everybody, and I'm going to actually put it on the interact section of the Spotify podcast section, and it says this. You are sleeping in a bench. You open your eyes, and you wake up, and you realize you're in New York City, right? And the first thing you see when you open your eyes and you realize you're in New York City are the Twin Towers. The date, September 1st, 2001, 10 days prior to September 11. You come back from the future to that day, and then you have a critical situation where it's one of two options. How do you save the Twin Towers from falling on September 11 and give the news or stop it without being on the FBI blacklist? Or will you invest in Bitcoin? Those are your two options. Time is running. Thank you for listening to the Charlie and Ellie Baby Show. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and colleagues. Now, I know we're not everybody's cup of tea, but somebody else might enjoy it. They can listen to this episode and many others on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Alexa, and iHeartRadio. You can follow us on our social media on Instagram and Charlie_Elmero or @NellyM82. And you can also follow us on TikTok at The Charlie and Nelly Baby Show. Thanks for listening.